dark and difficult times lie ahead, Harry. Soon we must all face the choice between what is right and what is easy.
Just a little bit from the latest Harry Potter film. Of course, the novels took the world and are still taking the world by storm. I remember sitting down one evening with my daughter. She was probably in third or fourth grade, and she had come home from the bookstore with the very first Harry Potter novel. Now, they'd been out for a couple of years, but it was still all the rage among the little kids. We sat down that evening. We started a course of reading the entire year, reading through that novel and the next novel at bedtime. They were page turners. She wanted to know every night what would happen next. When the last novel was over, she wanted to get the next one. So beyond the obvious appeal of the Harry Potter novels, should Christians have any concern about them? Should I have done what I did, sat down in the evening and read my daughter the Harry Potter novels? I think we read through four of them before she kind of lost interest and outgrew them a little bit. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Labor Day weekend. It's Sunday night, September the 3rd. I want to hear from you on the Harry Potter books. We're going to be talking about the books and the films. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or send us your email here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before we introduce our guest, 1 week from today, next Sunday night, we're going to be in Chicago for the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. We'll be broadcasting live next Sunday night, September the 10th, from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. Joining us at St. Paul's Brookfield will be Issues Etc. regular guest Aaron Wolf. Now, everyone is invited to attend this live broadcast from 9 to 11 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. And we have a question and answer session with refreshments at 8, right before the program. For more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour coming to Chicago next Sunday, September the 10th, visit our website, issuesetc.org. I'm looking forward to meeting each and every one of you for that live broadcast, 10 to 11, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, next Sunday, September the 10th. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest tonight to talk about the Harry Potter series. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana, and he made a presentation at a recent Higher Things Youth Conference titled "The Theology of Harry Potter." Dr. Stuckwish, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Will J.K. Rowling, the author of this series of novels, the Harry Potter books, will she sometime in the future be remembered in the same breath as C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and G.K. Chesterton and Charles Williams?
Well, that's a tough question. Those are some pretty big names. And frankly, the public is pretty fickle. I have a sense that she might, but I think only time will tell the tale. My personal feeling is that she probably is worthy to at least be in the outer orbit of those fellows. She's a far more capable and competent writer than many people have given her credit for, and she's also a very intelligent and well-educated woman, which I don't think the public by and large has realized. In addition to that, she is a Christian, a Presbyterian, member of the Church of Scotland, and she has intentionally woven her Christian faith into these novels, although she has done so somewhat quietly and subtly, I think, especially from the beginning, perhaps in the hopes of attracting readers who don't come out of the Christian tradition. She certainly is working within the trajectory that Lewis and Tolkien and others before her paved, and there are any number of ways in which her books, the stories, the Harry Potter stories, tip the hat to especially C.S. Lewis, but also in some ways to Tolkien as well. I think she's worthy to be in that group. I know a lot of people have kind of downplayed her writing ability, and I think that's a bit unfair because comparing different genres of literature is kind of like comparing apples and oranges. She doesn't write with poetic sort of language that some of the great classical authors did, but she's a master of her own craft, which is, I'm not sure I would call it children's literature, but it's a certain genre of literature, and I think she's very good at it, to be honest with you. I think she handles dialogue very well. The way that she has written the stories from from the third-person perspective of Harry Potter, but not in the first person. Everything is described as Harry encounters it and experiences it, but from a narrator's description. That's a very difficult way to write, and she sustains it very well. So I think she's worthy to be included in that group. That's my personal opinion.
Should I have done what I did? I talked about it there in the open of the program, as a Christian father, sitting down and reading these Harry Potter novels, at least four, maybe, I don't know. We got to the big fat one, and after that, things kind of died off in her interest. But should I have done that, a Christian father reading the Harry Potter novels to his daughter?
Well, yes, I think that it was a beautiful thing to do, Todd. I think, you know, for a parent to read to his children is a good thing to do in any case. And I think the Harry Potter books are actually a very worthy contribution for a Christian family. I'm not saying that they're necessary, but I think they have a salutary benefit and merit, and I think for you to read them with your daughter was an excellent thing to do. My suspicion is that it was not so much that she outgrew her interest in the books, but that the books perhaps at that point were outgrowing her, and I suppose in a few years she may be ready to tackle them again, especially if she's introduced to some of the Christological themes and symbols that really pervade the books, that I think there might be an interest in going back through them again and looking for those things, and perhaps with a little more maturity herself. The later books, they get pretty dark. I mean, they're dealing with some pretty serious things, and the battle between good and evil is not a pretty sort of thing. There are casualties along the way. And for a young child, you know, I do have some reservations about real little children getting into these books. J.K. Rowling, you know, didn't allow her own daughter to progress into some of the later books until she reached a certain age. So I think parents really need to be aware of what their children are reading and you know, and supervising that. So I think you did the right thing.
Then for our listeners who haven't read the novels or maybe only have a dim memory of one or two of them that they may have read, outline the general overall theme of the Harry Potter novel.
Well, there's a number of different ways of approaching that, but I would say it's this, that Harry Potter, the lead character, is learning through a process of what we as Christians might regard as the baptismal life, the daily drowning of repentance and the rising of the new man through forgiveness of sins, sharing in the cross and resurrection of Christ. This is what's happening in the course of each book. Harry is a flawed character. He has a lot to learn. He needs to be catechized. He needs to be instructed in the faith. And he is catechized through the trials and tribulations that he undergoes. And there are a number of father figures who are intimately involved in catechizing Harry and teaching Harry along the way, and through that which he suffers and through that which he receives from his fathers, if I can speak this way, from his fathers in Christ, so to speak. That language isn't used in the books, of course, but he really is crucified, dead, and buried, and then raised again to new life, and that at the end of the book, at the end of the series, in the next book, I believe what's going to happen is that Harry is going to sacrifice himself, and that by his self-sacrifice, he's going to defeat the arch-villain in the story, Voldemort, who really is the Satan figure in the book, the fallen angel, the very, very powerful wizard who has gone to the dark side and mocks everything that is good and right and true in his own perverse lust for power. And in doing so, he really is actually frantically afraid of death. Whereas Harry, book after book after book, makes tough choices that put his life on the line for the sake of his friends and for the sake of his principles. And those are not always easy choices to make, and sometimes along the way he's making some choices he shouldn't. But he's really being trained to make the good choices, the right choices, even though they may cost him his life, because one of the things he is being taught is that there is something worse than death, which is a hateful, soulless, selfish existence, and that for those who are the recipients of love, death is really just a stage to the next great adventure. That's how his professor, Dumbledore, puts it.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of this, Greg. Okay. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. He made a presentation to the Higher Things Youth Gathering titled The Theology of Harry Potter. What do you think about Harry Potter? Should Christians avoid the books and the films? Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We also have that in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We can take your questions or comments right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, more on that subject, and what about the witchcraft? Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes struggle to find time for personal devotions? What if you could study God's Word while driving your car, doing the dishes, or surfing the web? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is called Listening to Luther. It's a CD and a booklet of Luther's small catechism and six hymns written by Martin Luther. You can find out more about Listening to Luther on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You'll probably recognize the voice of Listening to Luther. It's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. Listening to Luther costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You'll find a brief, clear study of God's Word on the essentials of the Christian faith with Listening to Luther. This devotional resource costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Listening to Luther, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in His grace, in His undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of His Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Well, thanks to Jeff in Springfield, Missouri, Robert in Arlington Heights, Illinois, Harry and Mary in McKinney, Texas, and Barbara in Belmont, California for recently joining our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. Now, there are all kinds of benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer. Premiums like monthly tapes and books and transcripts. For more information on the Reformation Club, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, issuesetc.org. Now you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can join by check. Write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And you can also donate online. Issuesetc.org is our website. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking about the Harry Potter series of novels and films. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. When we went to the break, you were right in the middle of a thought about contrasting the Harry Potter character and his arch nemesis, Voldemort. One of them fears death, the other one doesn't. Finish that thought briefly, if you would, Dr. Stuckwish.
Yeah, this really gets to the heart of it. There's two main themes or topics, I guess, that the books are really concerned with. That is how a person deals with death and the importance and power of love. And the contrast between Harry and Voldemort is really precisely at both of these points. Voldemort is terrified of death, and he has dedicated his entire existence trying to overcome it because he lives in fear of it. And it's a selfishness and self-centeredness that makes him hateful and destructive of others. So you've got this self-serving lust that lives in fear of death on the one side in Voldemort, whereas in Harry, what he's learning, and he's a receptive student because of his fathers, his biological father, his godfather, his mentor father, Dumbledore, and what he's really learning is that self-sacrificing love is more powerful than death, and that death is not to be feared because death really doesn't have the last word. There is a life after death. In fact, the theme of the resurrection is very prominent. And what you really see is the way in which a Christian lives, not in fear of death, but in love, the love that is received and the love that is given, and that living in this love received and given is far more important than trying to escape death out of fear. And that really is the sharpest contrast that you have in the book. I mean, there's lots of other things that orbit around that. And this is not love just in a generic abstract sense, nor is it resurrection in a generic abstract sense, but these are both tied very tightly to Christological symbols, the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Now, even though the name of Christ is not used in the book, this is really what Rowling is getting at. I'm quite convinced of that, much as C.S. Lewis with Aslan, especially in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is clearly giving us a picture of Christ without using the name of Christ. He's using a literary device to talk about the self-sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection. J.K. Rowling is doing the same thing, and it really permeates the entire series. I really think that is what the books are about, the death and resurrection of Christ and the way in which his Christian people, through what we would call the baptismal life, through daily repentance, through forgiveness of sins, are shaped and conformed to that image of Christ and are given the mind of Christ and learn how to love others as they are loved, to lay down their lives in service to others, to show mercy and compassion. These are the things that Harry's learning, and that's really what the books are about.
What about the concern that so many Christians do have about the witchcraft and the wizardry, the witches and the wizards? I guess the same concerns could be leveled at C.S. Lewis, some of the things he wrote in J.R.R. Tolkien's Ring trilogy as well, but how would you respond to that concern?
Well, you know, I respect those who have that concern. I think it stems from a sincere concern of parents for their children and a sincere concern of Christians to honor the Word of God, and I'm all for that. I respect that. I think it's a bit misguided because I think there's a failure to recognize that the magic, the witchcraft and wizardry, if you will, in the Harry Potter books is a literary device. It is not propaganda that is trying to convert people to real-world witchcraft. It really is not. It's a literary device, and I've used this example before. Some people have maybe heard me say this before, but the same thing is true, again, to use C.S. Lewis. If the C.S. Lewis books were really teaching people to worship a lion from across the ocean, well, that would obviously be idolatry, but Christians understand that's not what it's doing. The books are not teaching people to worship a lion, and books that use time travel as a literary device are not teaching people that they ought to try to travel in time. You know, the Superman stories are not teaching people that they ought to look for Krypton. I mean, these are literary devices, and they serve a purpose. I think that's what J.K. Rowling has done. I think there are, you know, in certain parts of the world and in certain places, you may have individuals who are truly caught in the trap of witchcraft and wizardry, and I think there, obviously, one wants to use caution, just the way one wouldn't offer an alcoholic a drink. But for the well-catechized Christian who's living in a Christian home, I don't think there's any danger that they're going to be enticed into witchcraft through the Harry Potter books. It really is simply functioning as a literary device. And I think it serves a couple of purposes, actually, one of which is within the fictional world of the book, the magical world is somewhat analogous to the spiritual world, if you will, that truly exists all around us, and yet that so many people are completely unaware of. You know, a lot of people figure what you see is what you get. You know, there is no spiritual world. Now, we've got the whole New Age movement that has somewhat changed that. People are all over the map in terms of spirituality. But there's still a lot of folks who really function as though the material world is all there is. In the Harry Potter books, you have the muggles, the non-magical folks, who really are oblivious to this whole realm that is all around them and among them. And so I think there's an analogy there of the way that the spiritual world really pervades the life that we live in this world, and that there is this conflict and warfare going on between the Lord and his holy angels and his people on the one hand, the devil and his demonic forces on the other hand. This is to be taken seriously, and I frankly think that in Rowling's book she has given us a picture of that in her fictional universe using this literary device. In the books, there's a lot of indications as you go along that magic for Harry Potter and his friends really functions as the equivalent to our modern technology. There's lots of comparisons. The characters are often fascinated with electronic devices and, walkie-talkies and electronic bugging and television sets and VCRs. I mean, all of these things are very mysterious to the folks who live in the magical world. They have their own equivalents. They accomplish the same purposes within the books using their magical means as the non-magical folks use their electronic technology and so forth. So, I mean, that really is the function of magic within the books. And I don't know. I mean, that's as much as I can say about it. It's a literary device. I don't think it's harmful unless a person already finds themselves enticed and tempted by this. But I think that's far, far rarer than people have been given the impression. I think a lot of the hoopla about that and how the books have supposedly contributed to that has basically been propaganda on the part of these, Wiccan groups and witchcraft groups who are trying to ride the popularity of the books, to greater success for themselves. And frankly, I don't think it flies. I don't think that washes.
Folks, your phone calls and your email after this break. Call now. This break is a great time to call. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can email us here in the studio, and we'll get those emails and pass them along to our guest, your questions or your comments, for his answers or reactions. Issues ETC@KFUO.org. Issues ETC@KFUO.org. Do you agree or do you disagree with our guest about the theology in the Harry Potter series? Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. He made a presentation at a recent Higher Things youth conference titled The Theology of Harry Potter. So what do you think about it? Harry as a Christ figure, similar to perhaps the Aslan character in C.S. Lewis's novels, which most Christians have no trouble, or perhaps the Gandalf character in J.R.R. Tolkien's Ring trilogy, who dies and rises again to save his friends, with which a lot of Christians have absolutely no problem. We'll talk about it, and we'll talk about it with you right after this. Pastor Mark Schaefer, coordinator of continuing education and related events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our lay people understand their role and how they fit in the church, I think it's good for the church's mission. It's good for the church's service. It's good for the worship life of the church, too.
To find out about the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including a lay leadership retreat and a Christian Vision for Love and Marriage conference, check out their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them, area code 260-452-2204. Equipping the priesthood of all believers, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. Deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the next Issues Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Well, this is kind of odd. An Issues Etc. book of the month that isn't actually really a book, but it actually does kind of stand to reason. It is something different from what we usually offer as an Issues Etc. book of the month. But our listeners listen, so we thought we'd give them an opportunity to listen to our Issues Etc. book of the month. It's called Listening to Luther. It's a booklet and a CD. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. This great devotional resource costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order Listening to Luther by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. And when you order, mention Issues Etc. and our book of the month for September, Listening to Luther, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. We're talking about the theology of Harry Potter. Dr. Stuckwish, one more quick example, if you would, of a Christological or a Christian theme in the books.
Well, can I give you more than one time? There's so many of them. I do want to clarify. I think Harry is sort of a Christological character or symbol, but more in the sense that a Christian is formed in the image of Christ, and there are these other prominent Christological symbols that really are instructive and significant in shaping him. One of those is Gryffindor, the golden griffin that for which his house within Hogwarts is named. A griffin is an eagle and a lion, and what you really have there is this beast, this one creature that is a combination of the king of heaven and the king of beasts, the king of the earth. Two natures in one, and there you have a Christ figure. The symbol for the Gryffindor house is not a griffin, though, but a red lion, one of the little tips of the hat to C.S. Lewis, and of course to the Lion of Judah that is prophesied in Scripture. One of the more prominent and important Christological symbols throughout the series is the phoenix, the resurrection bird, which at a number of key points is crucial to saving Harry from certain death. At one point, the phoenix swallows this death curse, and then, of course, the phoenix dies because it swallowed this death curse, but then it does what phoenixes do, which is to resurrect back to life. Perhaps the most important Christological symbol who really emerges, especially in the most recent book, the sixth book, is Albus Dumbledore, the headmaster of Hogwarts, and really Harry's mentor and father figure at the school. Dumbledore, at the end of the sixth book, now some people will take it differently, but what I see happening there very clearly is that Dumbledore voluntarily allows himself to be killed in showing mercy toward characters who really, from a worldly standpoint, don't deserve any mercy. And in doing so, in sacrificing himself and in showing mercy, this is incredibly important to instructing Harry and catechizing Harry in what I think lies ahead in the final book. But Dumbledore is characterized throughout the series, everybody recognizes this, in that he is merciful, he is compassionate, he is kind, he is gentle. He can get a righteous anger up at times, but he does not let the sun go down on his anger. And he's marked by mercy and compassion, forgiveness, giving people second chances, trusting people where others have written them off and have been ready to condemn them. This is what marks Dumbledore, and this is really what is shaping Harry and preparing Harry for the final book.
I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Labor Day weekend, Sunday night, September the 3rd. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk first with Rich, who calls from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI. Rich, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment, first off, would be, correct me if I'm wrong, but J.K. Rowling did not write these books from a Christian perspective. We're not referring to a Christian who is writing these books and using these analogies to bring forth a Christian message. If I'm not mistaken, she was actually a Wiccan who is writing these books.
No, can I go ahead and respond?
Yeah, go ahead and respond. Rich, hang on the line if you would.
That actually is not true. She is a Christian. She's a member of the Church of Scotland, a Presbyterian, basically. And she has publicly said, when she's been asked, that she's not a Wiccan, she's not a witch. She is a Christian. And she has publicly said more than once that she has, in fact, intentionally written these books as an expression and reflection of her Christian faith. That is a documented fact. And unfortunately, a lot of rhetoric that flies around has said exactly the opposite, but that is the truth. She is a Christian.
All right, caller Rich. A follow-up, please.
Okay. Well, my philosophy is I have not allowed my children to read the books. I do not read the books. The book of Deuteronomy says to have nothing to do with that. Why is it as we as Christians want to draw a line in the sand and say, you stay on this side of the line and everything is okay, but the moment you step over, you're in sin, but yet we want to dance on the line as close as we can and dip our little toe on the other side and then excuse what we do by justifying it and trying to look for what's good in it, when in fact we should be turning around and running away and staying completely away from anything that is evil or sinful. That's what righteousness is, and I don't see anything of value in dabbling in sorcery or the occult.
Hey, Rich. All right. He raises the objection about the book of Deuteronomy, and there is very clear warnings there about Christians not even dabbling in any of these things. How do you respond?
Well, first of all, I absolutely agree, and I respect his prerogative as a father not to share these books with his children. I respect that completely. There's no requirement. I think that he maybe goes too far. Well, I'm quite certain that he does. In describing the books as evil and wicked and sinful, he has admitted that he has not read them. And I think it is unbecoming of a Christian to offer that kind of critique of something of which he has no personal knowledge. What I want to distinguish, however, is this. Reading the Harry Potter books is not dabbling in sorcery or the occult. The books use magic as a literary device within a fictional world. They are not propaganda for real-world witchcraft, occultism, sorcery, and so forth. They don't promote that. To read the books is not to dabble in those things. There is a distinction there. I see it. I realize other people are going to have a different way of looking at this, but that's my personal opinion, that these books are not dabbling in the occult or sorcery, not at all. They don't promote that. They don't honor that. The other thing I will say in this regard is that I'm sorry, Todd, I lost my train of thought. I had another point I wanted to make.
Well, if it occurs to you again, we'll come back to it.
Okay,
this is an email from a Rob in Hillsdale, Michigan. He writes, there have been many public personal attacks on J.K. Rowling by any number of fundamentalist and evangelical websites and articles. And Mrs. Rowling has openly acknowledged that these attacks on her and her daughter have perplexed and hurt her deeply. She also openly ridicules the notion that either she or her books are occultic. Engaging in such public malicious sin seems to be far more of a threat to the souls of Christians than children's books about a make-believe world of wizards and house elves. In such cases, shouldn't we as Christians first fear our own flesh, he asks. He says, as an ex-fundamentalist who enjoys J.K. Rowling's fun potboilers, I am quick to mark and avoid an apparent widespread anti-cultural fear that is also often taught to fundamentalist and evangelical Christians. Could Pastor Stuckwish please comment on the fear that so many Christians have of being led astray by such things as Harry Potter? What fear is healthy and what fear is not, asks Rob.
Well, I mean, that's an excellent email. I think it's well written and well said. The Harry Potter books are a work of literature. They are among God's first article gifts. And this is actually the point I was going to make, Todd. It was not really until I got to the end of the sixth book, I'll just be perfectly honest, it wasn't until I got to the end of the sixth book that I started to recognize and see these Christological symbols. I wasn't looking for them. I didn't expect them to be there. When the books first started coming out, all anyone heard was that J.K. Rowling was, you know, questionable, and she's not a Christian, and she's this, and then she's that. And I pretty much ignored all of that, but I didn't go looking in the books for Christian symbolism. I just read them and enjoyed them with my children as good stories that were well written and an engaging story with likable characters who were learning a lot of important lessons along the way. And it really was not until I got to the end of the sixth book that I started to realize, you know, there's more going on here than just a good story. And it was after I started digging a little deeper that I saw things in the earlier books that I had not noticed when I went through the first time. And then in doing some further research on J.K. Rowling and on the books, what I came to realize is that there's actually Christian symbolism and Christological themes that permeate these books. Once you know they're just all over the place. You can't miss them. So I think on the one level, as Christians, we thank God for his first article gifts, his gifts of creation, the things that he gives us. In the gospel this morning in my congregation, we heard the word of the Lord by which he declared all foods to be clean. And that's a pretty significant categorical word that says to us that creation is a good gift of God that can be received and used with joy in faith, not abused, but in faith. So I think Rob is quite right in saying that the books can be enjoyed in that sense. And I think he's absolutely right that the kind of public attacks against J.K. Rowling really are unbecoming of Christians, and a lot of them are based on misinformation and falsehood. They are breaking the Eighth Commandment. And I think Christians who are concerned about the commandments in Deuteronomy ought to include the Eighth Commandment among them, at least as we Lutherans number them, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Well, Rob's got another question in his email. We'll get to that on the other side of this break. Folks, we are just a little more than 2 weeks away from the premier marriage conference of 2006. It's called A Christian Vision for Love and Marriage. It takes place September the 18th through the 20th. On the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's just one of many of the fall retreats being offered by Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204. When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes in this hour with Dr. Richard Stuckwish on the theology of the Harry Potter series. We'll take your phone calls right after this, and we'll get to Rob's second question. Stay tuned.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives. And LCMS World Relief does exactly that. by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the church growth movement. Live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, our guest at St. Paul's Brookfield will be Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. Has the church growth movement paid off on its promises in the last 30 years? If pastors, according to the church growth movement, are CEOs and the church is a business, well, what product are the church growth leaders selling? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc., with Aaron Wolf. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of September, click on the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there, be sure to find out more about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. In fact, why not make a special one-year anniversary gift to help support the victims of Hurricane Katrina through LCMS World Relief? Call them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438. And earmark a donation for Katrina victims, 1-888-930-4438, or you can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the Harry Potter novels. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. Rob had an email from Hillsdale, Michigan. Here's the second part of that, Dr. Stuckwish. Rob writes, in 2002, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, a regular guest on this program, wrote in a Lutheran Witness article that, and he quotes, Harry Potter falls short. If the book spoke only of wizards, a profession found only in fantasy books, rather than the clear and present danger of witchcraft, most of the problems would evaporate. Christian parents are right to steer their children away from the series, end quote. Rob continues, I have read and discussed both J.K. Rowling's books and Dr. Veith's articles about them to my own children, and they don't agree at all with his reasoning or concerns. Would Pastor Stuckwish please comment on the distinction that Dr. Veith makes here between wizardry, the fantasy thing, and witchcraft, the real thing?
Yeah, that's. I think Dr. Veith has a point, but I would tend to agree with Rob and his children that his argument finally falls short. Frankly, I think all that Rowling was doing was looking for a feminine equivalent to wizard. And I think the publishing companies have something to do with some of the language as well. But in this case, I really don't think within the books that witch is used as anything other than a feminine form of wizard. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, I think there are cases where if a person is embroiled in real world witchcraft, then you don't present them with additional temptations that they're going to take and warp within that sin that they're already caught in. But for a Christian person who, is well catechized and in a Christian home, the books don't promote real-world witchcraft. I really don't see any danger of that happening. And now, one thing that did happen in the United States, the title of the first book in the United States is The Sorcerer's Stone. And I think that was an unfortunate change. The title that J.K. Rowling used and the way it was published in Britain was the Philosopher's Stone, which was not an insignificant title, but the publisher in the United States didn't think people would be interested in the Philosopher's Stone, so the publisher changed the word to Sorcerer's Stone. And now, sorcery, I think, does raise some red flags, but one has to realize this is not the term that Rowling herself chose to use, and the term she did use, the Philosopher's Stone, was rooted in some of the medieval theology that she drew upon in shaping her story. So I think that was an unfortunate choice of terms, but I don't think the use of the word witch or witchcraft ought to be regarded as problematic in the way that Dr. V supposes. It's simply the feminine form within the books. It's simply the feminine form of wizard, and on that count, I think he's quite right, that this is simply a fictional sort of thing. It's an imaginary universe in which magic is part of the reality of their existence, just like in the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's the same kind of literary device.
A quick phone call from Angela in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KKMS. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
What's your question or comment?
Okay, my comment is about the viewpoint of this whole subject.
And what specifically, Angela?
Okay, first of all, in Ephesians 5 and 6, starting, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words and empty excuses and groundless arguments for sin. For through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience." Then it goes on, "So do not associate or be sharers with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Lead lives of those born to the native light."
All right, Angela, thank you very much. She brings forward a Bible passage there from Ephesians. Dr. Stockwish, with only about a minute here, do you think that passage would preclude Christians reading or enjoying the Harry Potter novels?
No, I don't agree at all. I honor the words of Paul. I want it to be known that the Word of God is the sole rule and norm of faith and life. I think the passage is pertinent because I think J.K. Rowling is a beautiful example of walking as a child of the light and using her vocation as an author to share her Christian faith in a very compelling sort of way. And what she is presenting in her books, in her characters, is the sort of self-sacrificing love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness that we learn from Christ our Savior. This is not dabbling in nonsense. This is not deceiving people into sin. The books are actually serving a very worthwhile Christian purpose. And so I commend her for that. I commend J.K. Rowling. I think she's doing a very fine thing.
Finally then, Pastor Stockwish, with only a minute or so to respond, no more, if J.K. Rowling had, at the outset, simply put a foreword in her book that said, "Look, I'm a Christian, I'm a Scottish Presbyterian, I believe in Jesus Christ, read on," or had she dedicated the book to J.R.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis, or had she in some other way signaled publicly that she intended to weave these Christological themes into these novels, do you think Christians would have as big a problem as they do, or would they deal with her the same way they do with Lewis and Tolkien and the others?
Well, I suspect that a lot of Christians who have had problems with her probably would not. I think they probably would have embraced her, and a lot more Christians would have been reading the book, and a lot fewer non-Christians would be reading the books. And whether you disagree with her strategy or not, I think she was following C.S. Lewis not only in writing this kind of literature, but also in writing with the intention of preparing non-Christians to receive the actual proclamation of the gospel. She's sort of planting seeds and giving them a picture of what the Christian gospel and the Christian life look like in the hopes that those people will then be prepared to receive the gospel. I really believe that was what she was about, and I think that is why she was subtle, and she didn't come out and say up front, this is what I'm doing, I've got some kind of strategy. I think when she has been asked, she has always publicly said, I'm a Christian and I'm writing this. At one point, she said, if people knew that I was a Christian, then they'd already know how the story line is going to end.
Hmm.
But she's not made a secret of it, but she hasn't been in your face with it. And I think it's because she has wanted to invite people in to this story, which really is shaped by the cross and resurrection of Christ. And I think that's probably a pretty good thing. I think a lot of people have enjoyed these stories, and if they're following through to the last book, a lot of folks are going to be surprised, some of them very pleasantly, and some of them are probably going to be a bit miffed that they didn't realize they were reading something with a strong Christian undertone. But, this is very similar to what Lewis did, actually. When he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, he didn't say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm writing a Christian story. He wrote them as compelling literature that people could enjoy in the hopes that it would help prepare them to receive the gospel of Christ.
Here's our mailing address and our phone number to receive a complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, or to help support Issues Etc. Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian with a tax-deductible gift. Our address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Yes, indeed, it could be that when she finishes her projected final novel in the Harry Potter series, that J.K. Rowling will finally, with the conclusion of this long story of Harry's 7 years at Hogwarts, she will finally tip her hand in such a way that even the Christian critics might say, oh, maybe we need to rethink what she was doing. So here we have a woman who has been much maligned by Christians, who in fact, as a Christian, writes this novel, as Dr. Stuckwish says, using the good gifts and talents that God has given her, not only to write a page-turner, but also to point through the characters there. And you can argue about whether it's wise to use magic or wizardry as a literary device, but to point the listeners in a very subtle, but perhaps with the next novel, unmistakable way to Jesus Christ. To the one who does, in his divine love for us, become human, and not through magic or wizardry or even good Christian morals, but through his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, out of love for us, redeem a fallen and lost world, transferring us, as one of our callers reminded us, perhaps unintentionally, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to his marvelous kingdom of light, through the forgiveness of our sins. And can we find it in literature like C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and perhaps even Rowling? We sure had better. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.